T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Pittsburgh, listen to what we started.
This is KBKA of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company.
The future really did begin here. The world's first scheduled broadcast was made from Westinghouse's
KDKA.
Listen as we share 100 years of KDKA radio.
Climb aboard our magic carpet for a montage of memories. Radio's finest hour.
Someplace special.
You're listening to KDKA Radio. Thank you very much for joining us on this KDKA Radio at 100. Looking back at the 100 years of KDKA Radio history, one of the greats from morning show on KDKA Radio and continues to be with us with the Jack Bogut Moments. Jack Bogut joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. And Jack, good to talk to you again.
How are you, Robert? I'm doing just fine. Thanks for inviting me again.
Absolutely. Love being able to talk to you. Love listening to the moments that you record for us and air for us on KDKA. And love this opportunity to be able to talk about your time at KDKA and not only what you remember for yourself and your own personal experiences, but some of the people that you've worked with over the years that stand out. Before we get to the individuals, let's go back, if we could, for a quick refresher. What was it like for you when you first came to Pittsburgh and came to KDKA Radio?
We got here, I forget the exact date now, but it was the day after Martin Luther King's funeral. And as we approached downtown Pittsburgh, we were on the north side, and we parked the car at the intersection of East Ohio Street and East Street, and I called for directions because every road was blocked. And I'd been telling Joni, you know, since I'd come here for the interview, and I said, honey, you won't believe how beautiful Pittsburgh is. We came through a tunnel, and it was like an explosion of a downtown area. We burst out of the Fort Pitt tunnels, and there it was with Three Rivers and all that stuff. So I'd been telling her and telling her. And when we got over to the north side and all the roads were blocked, a police officer directed us, and he said, make a left turn here and go down and turn on 16th Street, and you'll go across the 16th Street Bridge, and then you'll find your way in that way. Well, that is not the most beautiful way to enter Pittsburgh. And Joni is looking at me, and I noticed a quiver in her lower lip. And I said, honey, this is not the way I first came into Pittsburgh, trust me. And she said, okay. But we came in through the Strip District into downtown Pittsburgh and stayed at the Hilton for a couple of nights and got out and walked around a little bit, and then she began to see what an absolutely gorgeous city Pittsburgh really is. But that first trip in was unusual.
I bet it was, no doubt. When you first came, you were replacing Reach Kordick. What was that like?
Actually, I was not, Robert.
Oh, that's right, Reach Kordick, and then there was an interim. That's right, I forgot about
A guy named Art Palin.
Right.
And Art Palin and Bob Trow, Mr. Rogers fame, and a couple other people had the morning show for 2 years after Kordick left. To tell you the truth, I had read about Reach Kordick in a radio TV Mirror magazine while I was working in Bozeman, Montana, and the bridge leap and the brick throw and, you know, old frothing slosh, the stale pale ale, so light the foam is on the bottom and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That I think you and I talked a little bit about the last program that we did together. But no, Reach Kordick was such a strong entity here, I would have been afraid to come in and try to replace him. So I came in and replaced Palin and Trow, who had been on the air for 2 years. And, well, when I got here in 1968, consider this. Ed Chauncey, Bill Steinbach, Bob Prince, Paul Long, and Joe DiNardo were all part of the morning show. And KDKA carried the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Steelers, and the Penguins, and I think a basketball team at that time. And I was, you know, this was like a six or an eight-spoke wheel, and one of the spokes was missing, but the other parts were still there.
Mm.
And I got to be that final spoke in the wheel, and then we really, really started rolling. But, you know, my chances of failure were almost nil if I showed up for work every day with a cast like that.
Fantastic point. Were you in awe at all when you first came here with the people that you just rattled off that you were working with?
Yes, I really was. Of course, I knew about them before I got here and had done some research. But when I got here and listened to the radio station, Joni and I searched for a house and did a lot of things for a couple of weeks, stayed in a motel with the kids. And, you know, I listened to the radio station, and every day I listened, I became more and more, not intimidated, but nervous, because these were network-quality people that were doing the morning show right now. And it was up to me to try to fit in, and they could not have been more warm or gracious or welcoming under the circumstances. So it was a dream job. And Pittsburgh was the 10th largest broadcast market in America at that time. I think now we're somewhere around 21 or 22, right?
We are definitely in the 20s now when you look at it. But being at number 10, I mean, many people either forget or don't really fully appreciate the size of this city at one time and what it meant to the entire country. When you were looking at coming here, were there other considerations that you were thinking about, the idea of going to other cities? Or once you got the call about coming here, was how soon did you realize this was the place for you?
Well, oddly enough, the national program manager for Westinghouse attended the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Salt Lake City, and an advertising agency representative came to me while I was working on call radio in Salt Lake City, and he said, Jack, he said, the NAB convention's going to be here, and we're trying to put together a composite tape of all of the radio stations in the market, and we were wondering if you would write it and voice it for us. And I said, well, you know, answer two questions for me. Okay. I said, number one, is there any money in it? And number two, have you been to everybody else in town and turned down? And he said, no, and yes. But, you know, I wasn't doing anything at the time, and I loved Salt Lake City, and this was the flagship station for the Intermountain Radio Network, and I thought, oh, what the heck, you know, I'll do this. And so I did it. Phil Nolan, the national program manager, happened to listen to the tape. And so he had the manager bring him into the afternoon show and said, Jack, this is Phil Nolan, national PD for Westinghouse Broadcasting, and he heard your tape and just wanted to stop in and say hello. And I said, well, hi, Phil. Welcome to Salt Lake City. Nice meeting you. Hope you have a good time here. And then I went right back to spinning records. Little did I know that he would stay in town another 2 days to listen to the show, and the next thing I got a call, and they said, would you like to come back to Pittsburgh for a job interview? And I told them, thank you, no. When I make a move, I want to go someplace nice. Because I had read the stories and heard the stories about Pittsburgh being a big old steel city where you had to have street lights on at noon because the smoke was so thick. And, you know, I believed the bad publicity. So I politely declined and said, no, you know, I've got an opportunity maybe in San Diego or Los Angeles. And so he said, well, wait a minute. He said, we have a station in Los Angeles. Would you like to go to work there? I said, absolutely. Now, here's the ironic thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call from a program manager, and he said, Jack, I'm headed back to New York City. They sold the radio. No, the radio station in Los Angeles has gone all news. How would you like to go to work in Pittsburgh? And I gave him the same answer. And he said, have you ever been in Pittsburgh? No. Well, maybe you ought to come back and take a look. I don't think it is what you think it is. So I flew into the airport in a snowstorm, and the program manager picked me up in a sports car, and we followed a salt and cinders truck all the way in from the old airport. And I said, where is Pittsburgh? And he said, we're coming to it. And all of a sudden, we're in the Fort Pitt tunnels, which had a brick surface, and it sounded like a drum roll as we rolled through. And we burst out of the end, and there was Pittsburgh, and consequently there was no doubt in my mind that this was the place to come to.
Jack Boga joining us, and we'll continue our conversation with Jack and talk about some of the individuals that he worked with, like Chauncey and Steinbeck and Prince and Long and DiNardo and a whole lot more, coming up as we celebrate KDK Radio at 100 on KDK Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDKA Radio with Robert Mangino.
I'm Mangino. Welcome back. Jack Bogut with us. Jack, 1968 is when you made your appearance on KDKA Radio, and you mentioned the men that you were working with in the morning, and just felt as though you were just that extra spoke in what was already seemingly a perfect wheel. Talk about working with these different individuals. How about if we start with Uncle Ed?
Uncle Ed was one of the finest people I have ever known. He was just a really wonderful guy, and that's the personality that people heard on the air. He was, Robert, good case in point here. I've always been very, very shy, just human nature. You know, some people are and some people aren't. And Ed and Gertrude, his wife, and Joni and I would go out to dinner, and we would go right to the table. Now, if anybody said, hi, Jack, or whatever, of course, I'm going to go over and talk to him and, appreciate the recognition and the fact that they listen. We lost Ed at the door. He walked in and looked all over the room trying to make eye contact with somebody. And as soon as he did, he'd say, hello, and he would walk over to the table, and we would have ordered a drink and an appetizer by the time Ed got to the table, because he just loved people, and he was a true public figure, and he was constantly on the go, invited to one speaking engagement after another. He had been invited to join CBS on a number of occasions, and he loved Pittsburgh and didn't want to go to the network and just stayed here. He was a wonderful guy, a great commercial spokesman. He had Conn's Wieners, and a number of accounts were all his, and he didn't do commercials. He just talked about the product, and it was kind of like he put his arm around your shoulder and said, you know, you're looking a little bit hungry. I got to tell you, you know, Conn's Wieners would taste awfully good right now. A little potato salad on the side. And I mean, and when he gave a newscast, it really was like he reached through the radio and grabbed your hand or put his arm around your shoulder and said, this is what's happening today. No opinions. He didn't dress up the news. He just told you what you needed to get through the day well informed. So he was an amazing guy. A very, very strong family man. Our two families got to the point where we celebrated holidays together, and it was kind of like, one hand joins fingers on the other hand, because we spent holidays together, and he was a wonderful guy and one of my closest personal friends. Now, Bill Steinbach was a network quality newsman, and he was one of the best I ever saw or heard. And to give you an indication of how good he really was, first of all, he had a great voice, and his ability to concentrate was incredible. He could take a piece of information handed to him and pass it in front of his eyes and lay it down on the other side, on his left-hand side, and tell you everything that was in that piece of paper. Now, Bobby Kennedy was shot and killed during the first year that I was here. So Bill and I went into a separate room with two microphones so that we could simply work together. And he gave updates and chapter and verse on what was happening everywhere in the country with Bobby Kennedy's death and who it affected and how it affected them, and all, and never read a word, only passed information in front of his eyes and sat there and ad-libbed the whole thing, and I don't think he ever missed a word. He was an absolutely amazing guy. Again, offered network jobs, but chose to stay at Mother KDKA because, to him, that was the best job in broadcasting. And then there was Bob Prince.
Yes. Do me a favor, if you would. I want to get to Bob Prince. I want to get to Paul Long and Joe DiNardo and a whole lot more coming up. But we have to pause here for a moment. Jack Bogut is with us. We're remembering some of the absolute best days of KDKA Radio during Jack Bogut's time here from 1968 into the early 1980s. Before John Cigna took over, we're going to talk more with Jack Bogut coming up in a moment as we celebrate KDKA's 100 right here on KDKA Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDKA Radio with Robert Mangino.
Welcome back. I'm Mangino. Thank you very much for tuning in. We're celebrating KDKA Radio at 100 and one of the all-time greatest ever to crack open a microphone on KDK Radio. Jack Bogut is joining us, talking about his experience hosting KDK Radio and some of the great talent that he's worked with. Already talking about Uncle Ed Shaughnessy and also Bill Steinbach, but Bob Prince and Paul Long and Joe DiNardo still on the lineup to be able to go through, using a little bit of a baseball term if we could, do at the plate this half inning. Jack, you were about to talk about Bob Prince and your experience working with him on KDKA.
Bob Prince. What a character he was. Bob Prince was another true original personality. And Bob Prince was the unruly kid in grade school, but much older. He was also a great broadcaster. He knew every pirate. He knew every single play. He knew every single position, every strategy. So he was as good as you can get. He was also mischief beyond belief. And sometimes a little bit hard to control. And I think there were a number of managers that scratched the toes out of their socks trying to manage Bob Prince. But and he was one of the warmest, most thoughtful people that you would ever run across. My family absolutely loved him. The kids really adored him because we had a number of things that we did with Bob Prince and Betty, and he was so good to the kids. Went to the ball game and they put our names up on the big scoreboard and. But a couple of Bob Prince stories here. One time, Bob was supposed to do the sports at 7:20 in the morning. And an editor in the newsroom, Dave Kosick, fielded the phone call, and then he would get him all set up, and then I would talk to Bob on the air. Bob was not always reliable. Sometimes he would be there at 7:20, and other times it would be, 15 or 20 minutes later. So we did a little tap dancing once in a while. And so one day he called in late, and he said, "Bogey, my boy, I realize I'm late again, and I have to apologize for it. I hope you're not getting tired of this." And I said, "No, Gunner, give it all you got." And he said, matter of fact, he said, I was just getting ready to take a bath because he said my wristwatch died. And he says, I was just ready to get into the bathtub and I realized I was a little bit late and then it was too late to get to you. And he says, as a matter of fact, I'm taking a bath right now as I'm talking to you. And I said, really? I hope it's not getting cold. And he said, no. And he says, but it is, you don't believe me, do you? And I said, tell you the truth, Gunner, I don't think I do. And he said, well, listen to this splash. And he splashed so much water, he shorted out the telephone. And so we lost that sportscast, and he did make it up a little bit later. But with his history of being sometimes late or once in a while not showing up at all, I got a call, not at 7:20, but at 7:40, and Bob did call in, and he said, "Bogey, my boy," he said, "I'm sorry I'm late again," but he says, "you know how cheap Westinghouse Broadcasting is." He said, "They don't put us up in first-class hotels." He said, "I can't even tell you the name of the hotel here in New York I'm calling from right now." But he said, "they didn't even have a telephone in the room. I got to use a payphone in the hall." And he said, all I hear all night long is sirens, so I didn't get any sleep. And he said, the reason is sirens, I had to have the window open because the air conditioning either wasn't running or it was really inefficient. So he said, I'm in my shorts in bed, and I know I've got to make a telephone call. And he said, so I walk out into the hallway, and he said, wouldn't you know that the only breath of air that flowed into that room all night long came in and blew the door shut? He said, I now don't have a key. And he says, as a matter of fact, I don't carry a quarter in my shorts either. So I had to knock on a door, and somebody opened the door and saw me and called the manager who had to come up. And he said, and that's why I'm late. He was truly a piece of work, that guy. But I don't think the Pirates ever had a better broadcaster. They've had some good guys over the years, but Prince was truly, truly one of a kind and so much fun to work with when he was there.
when he was there.
Yeah.
Not roaming the halls in his shorts in hotels. Jack Bogut is joining us as we celebrate KDK Radio coming up to their 100th, our 100th birthday. The official date is November the 2nd this year, with the anniversary of the Harding-Conx elections. We're talking about Jack's run as the host of the KDK Radio Morning Show, and the great men that he worked with, from Uncle Ed to Bill Steinbach and Bob Prince. And now we're on to Paul Long and the work that you did with him. What do you remember most about him?
Well, Paul Long, he was referred to as Pappy Paul Long, because he was, when it came to newsmen, he was the father figure for all the newsmen in the market. And I'm Paul Long. I mean, he's Larry Richard does a perfect Paul Long imitation. He had a great voice. He appeared rather stern, but he had an amazing sense of humor. In fact, on Channel 4, Paul Long and Joe DiNardo used to rib each other. And, I mean, it was really, really funny to watch. But Paul Long was a consummate newsman. He had more of an identity to a lot of people on television than he did on radio. He was not there every single day, but he did an occasional newscast. So he was a firm member of the morning broadcast staff, but he was another network quality guy, very warm and friendly, but his demeanor was gruff. But anybody that knew him absolutely loved him. He was just a terrific guy. He was not there very long. Both he and Joe DiNardo went to Channel 4. I think we got here in 68. It might have been 69 or 70 that they made the trip to Channel 4. Joe DiNardo, of course, was always the consummate weatherman. In fact, he owned a weather forecasting service that I think is now transferred to, I think it may be in State College now. And it's a national forecasting service. But Joe DiNardo and his company had clients all over the eastern part of the United States, where they would write and transfer weather forecasts for various locations, and then they would even voice forecasts. So he was a really interesting guy, and he had an odd, interesting sense of loyalty. If you did not work with him, for him, or for his radio or television station, he didn't have two words for you.
Really?
My goodness. When he left and went to Channel 4, he and I didn't have two words to say to each other. We were not angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, but once you became a member of his team, he was warm, friendly, and outgoing to an absolute fault. But his sense of loyalty was, if you work for or with me, we are compadres. But if you don't, you're the competition, and maintain your distance, or I'll do it for you. But Joe died a number of years ago, but he was a great family man and the consummate broadcaster. Well, what about the building in downtown Pittsburgh that turned the lights on in various windows and darkened the rest of the building, and it said Joe said it would?
Right.
Yeah, because that was, if Joe said it was going to do something weatherwise, it just did. And Joe was a big supporter of charities, and in fact, he was one of the founders of that clothing campaign that Channel 4 runs every year. So he was a great guy.
Jack Bogut is joining us. We're talking about his wonderful career here at KDKA Radio. When we come back, Jack, I want to talk about how you see KDK Radio maintaining a consistency that had the longevity that it's had over the 100 years. And at the same time, during your run and then since, because you've kept Pittsburgh to be your home all this time after leaving KDK, the changes that have taken place and why you've decided to make Pittsburgh your forever home for you and Joni. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more coming up next. We're celebrating KDK Radio at 100 on KDK Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we start.
KDK Radio with Robert Mangino.
Mangino, Jack Bogut is joining us. And Jack, after you decided to leave KDKA, you decided that you wanted to keep Pittsburgh your home. And even after retiring from radio completely a few years ago, continue to want to keep it here, even though, growing up in the Mountain West, what is it about Pittsburgh that has been such a draw for you and Joni to not only begin to fall in love with the place as you came through the Fort Pitt Tunnel that first time, but then the city just grabbed hold of you?
Well, I assumed, Robert, that when we were in Salt Lake City, that Pittsburgh had, well, not bad manners, but it was a big, big eastern city where people were rather distant from each other. You know that if you go to Philadelphia or Newark, New Jersey, or New York City, or anywhere east of the Allegheny Mountains, you're going to find a completely different attitude when it comes to people living with each other on a day-to-day basis. Traffic is rude and argumentative, and in some cases, they don't use all of the peace sign. And I just assumed that people in the East were a bit brusque. When I got to Pittsburgh for the job interview, the program manager was a guy named Neil McIntyre, wonderful guy. He said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, I want to go to a grocery store and a bakery and a bar." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, I want to meet some people in a regular weekday kind of an atmosphere, and I just want to talk to some people." He said, "Okay." So he and I took a little walk around Gateway Center, and he said, "Hey, do this. Act lost. Walk up to anybody." So I walked up to somebody by the old McDonald's in downtown Gateway Center, and I said, "Hey, I'm a bit lost here. I'm looking for Kaufman's Department Store. How do I get?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "what you do is you walk over there to that corner, and you walk up, and then there's a little diagonal that you have to take. Hang on a second. Walk over with me." So took me up to the corner. I mean, that was the kind of friendliness that just disarmed me a little bit. Nice. And we went to a grocery store over on North Side. I can't tell you exactly where it was, but I just wandered around and talked to the clerks, and they were very helpful. Went to a bakery in Squirrel Hill, and went to a bar on South Side. And people could not have been warmer or more friendly. And I thought, you know what, if this is the way people are here, it reminds me a lot of home, how open and outgoing and helpful and uncomplicated the people in Montana and in Salt Lake City were. And, it turned out to be just exactly that way. And when I left KDKA in a contract dispute a long time in 1983, I hired an agent in Chicago, and he started beating the bushes for jobs, and I was invited to interview for the morning show on WABC in New York. And went in for the job interview, and it went very, very well. And we were talking about, the program manager said, "Jack, what would you like to do with the morning show?" And I said, "Well, I don't know for sure, but I said one of the things that we do in Pittsburgh that I'd like to do here is raise money for a children's hospital or some kind of a children's cause. And he said, oh, how would that work? And I said, well, we broadcast from department store windows and invite people to come down and drop money in a barrel, and kids collect money at their schools and come down with parents or guardians or, mm-hmm. or you know, by the busloads or whatever. And I said, I think we could go in Saks Fifth Avenue or Bergdorf Goodman or maybe from the lobby of the Plaza Hotel. And he started shaking his hand, and he said, you're kidding. He said, you could never do that here. I said, why not? And he said, we would have to set up security. He said, we've got people that roam the streets that would try to get money out of the barrel. And he said, you wouldn't be safe standing outside. We could never let you do that. And said, as a matter of fact, you probably wouldn't live in Manhattan with your kids. You'd have to live in a suburbs, probably across the river. So, and I said, yeah, but I could drive in and I'll just park. And he said, no, we'd have to send a limo for you because you can't park your own car in a parking garage. Now, this is 1983. Mm. Things may have changed since then. But I called Joni and I said, you know what? The job would be fantastic, but the living conditions are not nearly as good as Pittsburgh. So she and I talked about it at some length and decided that we didn't want to live anywhere but here. Our friends were here. The toy box for the kids was here. And so, you know, sometimes you don't know what you want to do, Robert, until you know what you don't want to do, right?
Oh, that's a good saying. That's a yep. great point.
Yep. And I had a chance to go to Miami and Chicago and New York City and decided that this was where we wanted to stay.
And, Jack, we are so glad that you stayed. What you've done to Pittsburgh, what you've meant to Pittsburgh, Children's Hospital, the Free Care Fund, the connectedness, the memories that you've created for us, and the stories that you still tell to this day for us on KDK mean the world to us. Thank you so much for that.
Well, you're very nice to say that, Robert. Nobody got more out of this than Joni and our kids and me. This has been a wonderful place to live, and this is home. And, you know, round trips are good.
They sure are. Jack, I thank you so much for taking some time out with us once again and helping us remember KDK Radio at 100, and looking forward to talking to you again as we get closer and closer to the actual anniversary date and have a huge celebrations then as well.
My pleasure, Robert. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Jack Bogut joining us as we celebrate KDK Radio at 100. Make sure that you can always go back and check this out again by going to our podcast at kdkradio.com. If you are listening on the app, you can rewind for the next 24 hours and listen to it again at your leisure. And always tune in every single Wednesday at 8 o'clock as we look back at KDK Radio's history. KDK Radio at 100. I'm Angino. Thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.